Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I'm here at the Hard Rock Sacramento at Fire Mountain, and I'm sitting with the chairperson of the Enterprise Rancheria Tribe, Glenda Nelson. Glenda, thanks for taking the time to join us. And I'm going to ask you to pronounce the full name of the tribe, because I didn't think I could do it and do it justice.
Yes, a lot of people do misstate it. The tribe's name is the Estum Wanam Maidu of the Enterprise Rancheria. Okay. And what that actually means is the Middle Ridge Maidu.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm glad I asked you to pronounce it rather than me, because I would have completely screwed it up. So tell us about the lives of the members of the tribe before you got authority to open a casino.
Our tribe has always been an extremely close-knit family. Mm-hmm. We've all worked together and accomplished major things. Mm-hmm. We never really felt poor, although we were extremely poor.
Sure, right.
We had the love of family and elders and very high morals that were taught mm-hmm. to the younger people. So I think that the tribe has done a great job moving forward. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that you're not ready to move forward on different things.
Sure, and, right, right.
But we've had a lot of great teachings in our tribe.
Right, right. So the path to get landed to trust for a casino was very long for your tribe. I mean, how many years did it take to get that authorization?
It was actually over 20 years,
yeah.
and it was really quite an overwhelming battle. Mm-hmm. In essence, what happened was we were a tribe that were taught to protect the Indian nation mm-hmm. and to make sure that the sovereign rights of the Indian people were protected.
Sure.
So we did not agree to be terminated like other rancherias
right. mm-hmm.
in California. The only place you'll find a rancheria is in Northern California, the only
okay.
place in the world.
Wow.
And rancherias are small reservations mm-hmm. that were created by the federal government. And then in the late 50s and the early 60s, there was a lot of legislation behind terminating those tribes.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we were a tribe that were never terminated. And we stood for those sovereign rights. And the whole reason behind the teaching was to make sure that if only one tribe was left, one rancheria, the other rancherias could return.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found ourselves in the situation was the Orville Dam was built to provide water
right. mm-hmm.
To Southern California, and they covered up our rancheria. And the other tribes around us that were terminated pretty much jumped over the top of us and restored in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't restore. And the reason was, is they said that we weren't terminated. And you would have to be terminated in order to restore. And it really was a catch-22.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. In essence, we as our tribe said, this is not about us having more rights than a terminated tribe,
mm-hmm.
but by God, we should have the same.
Right. Yeah. No,
and we were able to make sure and set that precedence in the law,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to restore, but it took us 20 years to do
right.
it.
And that went through several governors of California, I would imagine.
Several governors, several secretaries of the interior.
Mm.
In essence, we had to do what they call a two-part.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian Gaming Regulatory Commission
right.
Has rules and regulations around Indian gaming.
Sure.
And they call that a two-part. I think there were only five of them done in
mm-hmm.
the United States of America
right.
when we did ours. There's two in the state of California. But a lot of different tribes called it off-reservation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how about the other tribes that had been terminated? So they preceded you in opening casinos.
They did.
Okay.
By many, many years.
Okay. Great, great. So how has the establishment of the casino changed the lives of the tribal members?
I think that it's done a lot for our tribe. It's giving us the resources, the financial resources, to create programs to build up our tribal members and to provide services that we wouldn't have had an opportunity to provide.
Yeah, okay.
And it goes into a lot. I mean, housing, elders care, child care, you know, so many different programs.
And how many, do you have some tribal members that work inside the casino?
Not a lot. We have programs, but I think maybe, you know, 30, 40.
Okay.
We have 1,000 members.
Okay, great. So let's talk about when you finally got approved for a casino. Why did you choose Hard Rock to represent you?
Well, we actually didn't choose them.
Okay.
What had happened is a lot of tribes aren't able to finance casinos.
Right.
It is an enormous expense.
Yeah.
So what we had done is we had different developers, and one of our developers was Jerry Forsythe.
Okay.
And he hadn't built a casino before, and so he had solicited some partners to help him.
Sure.
And one of those partners introduced us to the Seminole Tribe of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with them. It was always our goal to work with other tribes to build the Indian Nation.
Right.
So it really kind of was a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And it just worked out really well. And it's the first time ever to have an East Coast and a West Coast tribe working together. I think Hard Rock didn't have their ability to license in California until 2016.
That's right, yeah.
So.
I think they got the Hard Rock in Tulsa with the, one of the Oklahoma tribes right after that happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't your choice for Hard Rock, but it turned out to be a good
marriage. It really was our choice once we realized the opportunities that would be available. They had the exact same morals that we did as a tribal people, and a reason for gaming was much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the element that we liked the most was the ability for our members and our community to move around the world to other Hard Rocks and to have careers.
Sure, absolutely.
Other native casinos, I mean, you're just in that one casino.
Right.
And it gives our not only our tribal members, but all of our employees that ability to grow.
Right, exactly. So what has the casino meant for the community as a whole, not just the tribe?
A lot.
Yeah.
We have great relationships with the city and the county. Our government-to-government basis that we work on, it has really grown. We work on many levels, and a lot of different funding sources that are available to counties and cities and to Indian tribes. It is our goal to work together to create. When we first started to build this, we said it's about keeping our money in our county.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense for sure. So they must have been very excited when you announced earlier this month that you purchased 350 acres of land immediately adjacent to the property here, and you're going to develop all kinds of things, entertainment, retail, dining, that kind of thing.
We really are. It's just been great that I always say that we've been blessed.
Yeah.
We're a diamond in the rough, but we've truly been blessed by God.
For sure.
And we have had the privilege of working with Vibrant to master plan.
Okay.
And we have wonderful employees. I mean, our employees is what make us.
Right.
And it's just been a great opportunity for everybody involved. But I think that it's the team that speaks for itself.
Right. So the team inside the casino, along with the tribe.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Tribal leadership, for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us how that's going to work. Are you incorporating the 350 acres into your reservation, or is this going to be just commercial land?
You know, we are not real sure right now, but what happens is Indian tribes have what they call trust land, which is federal land. Mm-hmm. That's why we can have casinos, because that land doesn't belong to the state of California.
Right.
But we also have fee land.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually do economic development on trust and fee both. Mm-hmm. So it would depend on what was best for the use and what type of use that we were doing there, what would benefit both parties that were involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how will this impact the community, this great development that will have thousands of jobs, I would imagine, it would create?
It is amazing. It's always been our goal and objective to be the economic engine that starts development of the sports and mm-hmm. entertainment zone. There's only two sports and entertainment zones in the whole state of California.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we are one of mm-hmm. them. The other one hasn't been developed. It's up in Butte County. But it is really about developing. We don't have a lot of development in Northern California that mm-hmm. we do in Southern California.
Sure, exactly. Right.
So it's about bringing those amenities and different types of entertainment to mm-hmm. Northern California.
Yeah, yeah. I understand there's going to be a big rodeo component of this as well, and this is a real rodeo area, correct?
It is. Yeah. It is, and we are very fortunate to have the rodeo. It's pretty much the home here to the what they call the king of rodeo, who is Cotton Rosser. And so it gives us a great opportunity to give back to that family mm-hmm. and to build upon that foundation that they established many years ago
sure.
in this area.
Sure. Well, when I was driving up to the property yesterday, on the left-hand side, there was thousands of horses in a range there. So I guess that there's a horse ranch right next door.
That is. Yeah. It's for the rodeo. You know, we Indians like horses.
Yes, absolutely. So what do you see as the future of the tribe? I mean, you're the leader of the tribe now, and I know that tribal nations always look seven generations down the road. And,
they do.
And so what are you seeing for your tribe?
For our tribe, I've been the chairwoman for 22 years, and I just got reelected for
okay.
another four. And it's a true blessing
yeah.
that I have been blessed to be able to work with the tribal council. There's seven of us on it. But our goal always is to make decisions that help our entire tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We put an awful lot of time and energy into cultural resources. We were very assimilated and we lost an awful lot.
Sure, right.
But we're putting a lot of effort into trying to get a lot of that knowledge back. We're putting a lot of effort into education and a lot of effort into teaching our members and providing services that will encourage them to do great things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really is about family. And it's about working together
mm-hmm.
in order to accomplish great things.
Great. Well, Glenda Nelson, you're a great representative of Indian Country and the family that it really is. And we appreciate you taking the time. And congratulations on what you've achieved so far and what you will achieve in the future.
Well, thank you very much. It's not me. It's us.
It's the tribe.
It is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To read more about the topics presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.